Okay, so have you ever stopped and thought about like how much thought really goes into the medicine you take? Like beyond just what it does, you know, like how it's actually designed to be, you know, easy to use and convenient. Like the whole experience of taking medicine is something we're going to deep dive into today.
Yeah, that's a really interesting area and something that's becoming more and more important in healthcare.
For sure, for sure.
So, we're talking about patient-centric design in drug delivery.
Yeah, patient-centric design.
It's all about making medicine work better for you, for the patient, by really considering your needs and preferences
Right.
when developing these treatments.
Yeah, and for this deep dive, we've gone through a ton of information, like from the really early stages of drug development, you know, like how are drugs even made to how they're manufactured, how their quality is checked, and all the regulations around it.
Absolutely, all of that comes into play.
And it's amazing to see how all these different pieces really come together with the patient at the center.
Yeah, it's a real shift in how we think about medicine.
Yeah, for sure. So what we're really trying to uncover today is how designing medications with the patient in mind from the get-go leads to better outcomes. You know, things like how easy a medication is to take, how often you need to take it, and even the form it comes in.
All of that can make a huge difference in whether someone actually takes their medication as prescribed.
Exactly. And that's ultimately what we want, right? For people to feel good about taking their medicine and for it to actually help them.
Absolutely, that's the goal.
So let's start with the basics.
Okay.
User-friendly dosage forms.
Right.
Like, have you ever considered why a pill looks or feels the way it does?
It's funny, most people probably don't think about it much.
Right, you just swallow it and hope it works.
Yeah, exactly. But there's actually a lot of science that goes into how that pill is designed.
Right.
And it starts with the physical form of the drug itself.
Okay, so before it even becomes a pill, it matters what the drug looks like on like a really tiny level.
Exactly. The physical form, whether it's a tiny crystal, a liquid, or something in between,
Okay.
has a massive impact on how it works in your body.
Okay.
Things like how easily it dissolves and how much of it actually gets into your bloodstream to do its job, bioavailability, all determined by that initial physical form.
Wow. So even before a drug is made into something we can take, scientists are already thinking about what form it needs to be in inside our bodies.
Absolutely. They're thinking about how to optimize it for the best possible performance.
That's wild. And it's not just about how it works initially, right? It's also about how stable that form is over time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You want to make sure that every dose you take, even months after it's been made, is exactly the same and works just as well.
Right. You don't want it to like lose its power or something over time.
Right, exactly. If the physical form changes on the shelf, the drug's performance can become unpredictable.
Gotcha. Now, I saw something in the research about water and other molecules playing a role in these physical forms, creating things like hydrates, salts, and co-crystals.
Ah, yeah, those are important concepts.
It sounds like a lot of chemistry.
It is, but it's really fascinating how these seemingly small interactions at the molecular level can have a significant impact on how the drug behaves.
Right.
Imagine a drug molecule as a Lego brick.
Okay.
Sometimes adding a bit of water hydrate or another molecule, salt or co-crystal, can change how easily that brick dissolves in water, just like some Lego creations fall apart easily while others are sturdy.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. So for a drug, this impacts how quickly and effectively your body can use it.
Right. So scientists are like engineering these tiny structures to make the drug work its best.
Exactly. They're carefully controlling these forms to optimize how the drug dissolves and gets absorbed.
That's really incredible. Now, one of the sources mentioned this really fast way to figure out the structure of drug metabolites.
Oh, yeah.
Those are what your body breaks the drug down into, right?
Right.
And they use something called cryoprobe NMR spectroscopy.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
It is. But why is this important for us as patients?
So that new technique is a game changer because figuring out what these metabolites look like and how they behave has traditionally been a slow and difficult process.
Okay.
This new method is like having a super sensitive microscope that can see these tiny structures with just a few specks of the substance.
So it's a shortcut for understanding how our bodies process the drug.
Exactly. And that means scientists can make smarter decisions about drug formulations much earlier, potentially leading to more effective and safer medications reaching you sooner.
So faster development and better drugs.
Yeah,
That's a win-win.
absolutely.
I also came across something called process analytical technology, or PAA, being used to make drugs.
Ah, yes, Peyté. That's becoming increasingly important in pharmaceutical manufacturing.
And they specifically mention co-precipitation,
Right.
which is a way to make those goo crystals we were just talking about.
Exactly.
So how does all this relate to making medicines more user-friendly?
So think of Peyto as a way for scientists to keep a close eye on the drug manufacturing process as it's happening.
It's a live feed of what's going on.
Exactly. And techniques within PATI can monitor things in real time. For example, during co-precipitation. By understanding and controlling this process precisely, manufacturers can ensure that every batch of medication has the exact right properties.
So it's all about consistency and making sure each pill or whatever form it takes
Right,
is
but
exactly the same.
exactly. It leads to more consistent and reliable drugs, so you're getting the same effective dose every time.
That makes a lot of sense. Now let's talk about the different ways drugs can be given, like tablets, inhalers, patches, the route of administration.
Yeah, that's a crucial consideration in drug development.
Because obviously you want the medicine to get to the right place.
Exactly. The best way to give a drug isn't one size fits all.
Right.
For instance, think about an inhalable drug for asthma.
Okay.
It needs to go straight to your lungs.
Right, to open up those airways.
Exactly. And the sources even pointed out that for these kinds of drugs, it might actually be beneficial for the body to clear them out relatively quickly
Oh, interesting.
once they've done their job in the lungs.
So they don't linger and cause side effects.
Exactly. Minimizing any wider impact on your system. This targeted approach is a big part of patient-centric design.
I see. So it's not just about getting the drug in there, it's also about how long it stays in your system.
Right. It's about optimizing the whole process for the patient's benefit.
All right, so we've talked about the form the drug takes and how it gets into the body.
Right.
Now let's move on to delivery devices.
Okay.
These are the gadgets and systems used to administer the medicine.
Exactly. And here, something called drug transporters play a crucial role.
Okay.
Our sources highlighted P-glycoprotein, or PGP,
PGP.
which acts like a gatekeeper in your gut, controlling how drugs are absorbed into your bloodstream.
So it decides what gets in and what stays out.
In a way, yes. And what's fascinating is that the way a drug is delivered can influence how well it gets past this gatekeeper.
Interesting. So a clever delivery method could help the drug bypass this PGT thing.
Exactly. That's one strategy. And the case of a drug called romidepsin illustrates this well.
Romidepsin.
It seems that this drug is recognized by PGP, which tries to pump it out of cells.
Oh, so the body is trying to get rid of it.
In this case, yes. And the fact that romidepsin itself can also make these pumps even more active in tumor cells might explain why it doesn't work as well in some patients.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, so understanding these interactions helps scientists design delivery systems that can maximize how much the drug your body actually uses.
So it's like an arms race between the drug and our bodies.
In a sense, yes. It's a constant negotiation happening inside our bodies
Yeah.
between the drug and these natural systems.
Fascinating. I also saw some terms in the research. I wasn't familiar with emulsions,
Ah,
like
yes.
oil and water emulsions,
Yeah.
microemulsions, liposomes, and lipid nanoparticles.
Right, those are all different types of drug delivery systems.
They sound pretty high tech.
They are. They're all clever ways to mix things that usually don't like to mix, like oil and water. And in medicine, this is incredibly useful for delivering drugs that don't dissolve well in the body's natural fluids.
I see.
By packaging these drugs in tiny droplets, microemulsions, or microscopic bubbles made of fat liposomes, lipid nanoparticles,
Brr.
scientists can improve how well they're absorbed, protect them from being broken down too quickly, and even potentially target them to specific parts of the body.
So these emulsions are like little vehicles that carry the drug where it needs to go.
Exactly. And for you as a patient, this could mean a medicine that works better, lasts longer, or has fewer side effects because it's delivered more efficiently.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And the research also mentioned things like skin patches for delivering drugs steadily over time.
Yeah, transdermal patches.
And new types of inhalers like the Pulmosphere platform.
Right. There's a lot of innovation happening in drug delivery devices.
It's really cool to see how technology is being used to make taking medicine easier and more effective.
It's definitely a rapidly evolving field.
Okay, so we've explored how the form of the drug and the delivery method can be designed with the patient in mind.
Right.
Now let's get to what feels like the most personalized aspect of all this personalized medicine.
Yeah, this is where things get really exciting.
It sounds like something out of science fiction, tailoring treatments to each individual person.
It's becoming more and more of a reality, and artificial intelligence, or AI, is playing a huge role in making it happen.
AI in medicine, that's wild.
Right.
How is it being used to personalize treatments?
Well, one key way is by analyzing vast amounts of clinical data, things like patient records, genetic information, and how different people have responded to treatments in the past.
Okay.
AI can spot patterns and connections that might not be obvious to researchers, helping us understand why one treatment works well for one person, but not for another.
So it's like having a supercomputer analyzing all this data to figure out what works best for each individual.
Exactly. And this can lead to more informed decisions about which drugs are most likely to be effective for you based on your individual characteristics.
That's incredible. It's like having a treatment plan that's custom made for you.
That's the goal. And AI is making it more attainable than ever before.
The research also mentioned a connection between AI's ability to predict protein structures and the design of personalized drugs.
Right. So proteins are these complex molecules that do all sorts of important things in our bodies.
Okay.
And knowing their precise 3D shape is crucial for designing drugs that can interact with them effectively.
Like a key fitting into a lock.
Exactly. And AI is now remarkably good at predicting these protein structures.
Yeah.
Even for proteins we've never been able to study in detail before.
So it's like having a blueprint for designing drugs that are tailored to your specific proteins.
Exactly. Potentially leading to more targeted therapies with fewer off-target side effects.
That's a game changer. And finally, our sources mentioned the importance of understanding how a patient's body processes drugs.
Right.
Specifically mentioning enzymes called cytochrome P450.
Yes, those are important enzymes in your liver that break down many different drugs.
And why is this important for personalized medicine?
Well, these enzymes can vary from person to person based on their genes.
Okay.
Some people might have a version of an enzyme that works very quickly, meaning they break down a drug faster than others.
So the drug might not have enough time to work.
Right. And on the other hand, some people might have a slower version of the enzyme, which could lead to the drug building up in their system and causing side effects.
So knowing how someone's body processes drugs is key to finding the right dose and avoiding problems.
Exactly. And a drug like ketoconazole can further complicate things because it can interfere with the activity of several of these enzymes.
Oh, so it's like a domino effect.
In a way, yes, it's important to understand these potential interactions.
So it's really about understanding the whole picture of the individual patient, their genes, their enzymes, and how all of that interacts with the drug?
Exactly. It's a complex system, but the more we understand it, the better we can tailor treatments to each person.
This brings us to the big question. How does all this patient-centric design actually impact the success of a treatment?
Right. Well, it seems obvious that if a medication is easier to use and fits into your life, you're more likely to stick with it.
Right. No one wants to take a medicine that's a hassle.
Exactly. No. Ease of use and convenience are absolutely fundamental to patient adherence.
And I'm sure patient preferences play a huge role, too.
Oh, absolutely. Some people might prefer taking a pill, while others might find a patch or an inhaler much more convenient or acceptable.
Right. It's about giving patients choices whenever possible.
Exactly. And taking their preferences into account can significantly improve how willing they are to engage with their treatment.
And ultimately, that's what leads to better outcomes.
Precisely. It's about making the medication experience something that feels manageable and fits into their lifestyle.
Our sources give some good examples of how this plays out in real life.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Well, for chronic conditions like osteoporosis.
Okay.
A drug that you only need to take once a month instead of every day is a huge win for convenience.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That can make a huge difference in adherence.
Right. And on the other hand, for something like asthma, a drug that clears out of your system quickly after working in your lungs might be preferred by patients who are concerned about potential side effects.
Right, because they want the relief, but they don't want the drug hanging around in their system longer than necessary.
Exactly. And these examples highlight how the desired product profile, what you ideally want the drug to do, and how you want the patient to experience it.
Right.
Needs to be considered right from the beginning of drug development.
Absolutely. For a condition that requires long-term treatment, making it as easy as possible to incorporate the medication into daily life is crucial.
But for other conditions, the focus might be more on minimizing side effects, even if it means a slightly different dosing schedule.
Exactly. It all depends on the specific needs and concerns of patients for different diseases.
So it's not just about making a drug that works, it's about making a drug that works for the people who need to take it.
Exactly. That's the heart of patient-centric design.
While our sources didn't give us specific success stories, it definitely feels like we can see the potential for much better outcomes, especially in areas where it's traditionally been hard for patients to stick to their medication plans.
Absolutely. Anything that makes it easier for people to take their medication as prescribed is going to have a positive impact on their health.
Right. And that's really what it's all about.
For sure.
So to sum up our deep dive today,
Okay.
it's clear that putting the patient at the center of drug design is absolutely essential for helping people stick to their treatment plans and achieve better health.
Absolutely. And it's inspiring to see how science and technology are coming together to make this happen.
It makes you wonder what's next, what exciting new possibilities are on the horizon.
Yeah, like what?
Well, what if we could monitor patients in real time using wearable devices or something?
Oh, interesting.
And then use that information to further personalize their medications and how they receive them.
That would be amazing. It'd be like having a constant feedback loop between the patient and their treatment.
Right. It feels like we're just scratching the surface of what's possible in creating a truly patient-centered healthcare
Yeah,
experience.
it's an exciting time to be in this field.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
My pleasure.
It's been a fascinating conversation.
I agree.
And I hope everyone listening has a better appreciation for all the thought and care that goes into designing the medicines they take.
That's what we were hoping for.
Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, see you then.